I'm sure many of you have heard of Charles Manson, but how much do you really know about him, his life, or his, quote, family? Let's start at the beginning. Charles Manson was born November 12, 1934, to a very broken family. His mother was imprisoned for armed robbery while he was young, and his father was not present in his childhood. Manson was committing crimes from the start of his life. In fact, he spent most of his childhood in juvenile detention centers and reformatory schools for crimes such as larceny, armed robbery, auto theft, and other crimes similar to those. When Manson was released for the final time in 1967, he moved to San Francisco, where the youths of the bohemian street culture became devoted to following him. This would later become his family. Within the next year, Manson gained a reputation and a large following base. This group was a religious cult in which the teachings of Manson were praised and practiced. The name of this group was the Manson Family. After moving to a deserted ranch in 1968, Manson was able to preach to his family without any repercussions. The family was also able to freely use hallucinogenic drugs, most frequently LSD. Much of the family was made up of young girls, which made it easier for Manson to brainwash his cult members into believing that he was a reincarnation of Jesus, and that the family was a beneficiary of an upcoming race war. These teachings of a race war were entirely based on the song Helter Skelter by the Beatles. However, Paul McCartney himself said that rather than a race war, the song was based on the fall of the Roman Empire. Manson's teachings were also very obviously based on science fiction novels and popular theories of the time. It is said that after Beach Boys member Dennis Wilson picked up two family members as hitchhikers, Manson and the rest of the family formed a close relationship with Wilson and lived at his house with him at one point. This connection made it possible for Manson to audition for Terry Melcher, the producer of the Beach Boys. However, he was rejected. Melcher was staying with a man of the name Roman Polanski at the time. We'll hear more about Polanski later. It is suspected that Manson and his family committed around 83 murders. However, only 8 were ever brought to court due to lack of evidence. On August 9, 1969, Charles Manson, Susan Atkins, Patricia Krenwinkel, and Linda Kasabian set out with the intention of murder. The location? The house of Roman Polanski and his wife Sharon Tate, who was 8 months pregnant at the time. What the Manson family did not know, however, was that Polanski was in London filming a movie. So instead, they ended up finding Stephen Parent, Wojtek Frykowski, Jay Sebring, Abigail Folgers, and Sharon Tate at the house. The first victim, Stephen Parent, was found shot in his car. He had been visiting with a friend in the guest house on the property. Frykowski, Sebring, Folgers, and Tate were brought into the living room and tied up. However, Frykowski and Folgers would later escape to the lawn, where they would be stabbed and beaten. Tate and Sebring were left in the house, where their bodies would later be found. After the murders, it was Atkins who wrote the word pig on the front door using the blood of her victims. Throughout the ordeal, Kasabian stayed in the car acting as a getaway driver. However, later in court, she claimed to have been horrified and disgusted by the actions of her fellow family members. She was especially disturbed by the killing of Stephen Parent, as he was only 18 at the time. The following night, Manson gathered Cassabian, Charles Watson, Patricia Krenwinkle, and Leslie Van Houten with the goal of committing more murders. This time, they decided on Lino and Rosemary LaBianca. While Cassabian stayed in the car, Watson, Krenwinkle, and Van Houten murdered the couple. After doing this, they proceeded to write "Death to Pigs" and the misspelled words "Helter Skelter" on the walls with the blood of the couple. After the group left the home, Manson handed Rosemary's wallet to Cassabian, saying, "Drop it in the next black neighborhood we go through." Based on this, we can infer that by placing the wallet where they did, they thought a person of color would find it. We can also infer that they did this because of Manson's beliefs that he was the one who had become chosen to start a race war. In both murders, Manson never entered the house or physically harmed any of the victims, but instead instructed his followers to do so without question. Contrary to what you may think, members of the Manson family were not arrested on the suspicion that they were murderers, but instead, they were arrested on the suspicion of vandalizing a section of Death Valley National Park while they were hiding in the Mojave Desert. It was through the interrogation and confession of Susan Atkins that they were able to connect the murders to the family. During the original trials, a man of the name Richard Hughes acted as the attorney for Van Houten and Manson. However, before getting much work done, he decided to drop the case. This decision made him very unpopular with many family members, so it was obvious that when he disappeared on a camping trip and was found dead in a forest, that it was the work of a former Manson family member who was still desperately devoted to following and worshiping their leader. In one of the early trials, Manson appeared in court with an X carved into his forehead. This action was replicated by many of his followers, and over time, the X turned into a swastika that most family members carved into their forehead and kept there for the rest of their lives. On January 25th, 1971, Charles Manson was convicted of first-degree murder for the direction of the Tate and LaBianca murders. He was originally given the death penalty. However, California soon invalidated all death sentences given before 1972. Throughout trials and the investigation process, multiple motives were questioned. These included medical insanity, Manson's severe ego, and his strong belief in Armageddon or the end of the world. Throughout the time that he was the leader of the family, Manson made many claims that he was a messiah or a reincarnation of Jesus. He also claimed to have visions of a nuclear attack. He claimed that after the attack, he and his family would be the only ones left in the world because they were hiding in the desert. Early in his life, while in a correction facility, many said that Manson was incredibly antisocial and had many sociopathic tendencies. These included showing limited to no emotion, as well as his extreme ability to control others. At one point, Manson was diagnosed with schizophrenia and paranoid delusional disorder. We can see symptoms of these disorders in some of Manson's actions and teachings, such as his fear of a nuclear attack, and that he believed his purpose in life was to start a race war. During a court trial, a judge ruled that Manson was so insane that he should never be granted parole. He tried for parole many times, but was denied every single one of them. His last request was in 2012. After being sentenced, Charles Manson would spend the next 46 years behind bars before his death on November 16th, 2017, turning 83 years old, a mere 4 days before his death. This podcast is meant for educational purposes only and is in no way meant to glorify the actions of Manson and his family. My heart goes out to any and all people affected by the actions of Charles Manson and the rest of his family. Killers and Cults, The Stories, is written and hosted by Audrey Ladowitz. For more episodes, listen on Spotify or the Apple Podcast app.